so excited I get to shut her down today. That's awesome. So, as most of you, thank you for the great introduction, Olga. My name is Ray Acevedo. I'm Assistant Professor of Precision Agriculture in the Department of Agronomy at Kansas State University. And a little bit more background about myself. I have a strong soil fertility background and have worked with David Mingle on developing algorithms for optical sensors for nitrogen recommendations. Now, in this presentation, I'm looking at giving you more of like a high-level overview of the kind of work that we have been doing, but more with aerial imagery, giving nitrogen recommendations, but more of like an agronomist perspective. And the hope that perhaps I can present some algorithm ideas and some other components that have already been invented that would be highly useful for you for your own development. First off, let's get started about why do we care about nitrogen management? Well, nitrogen fertilization has a very large impact on yield. It is the second most yield-limiting factor next to water. Oh, we're back on. Next is, we got 9 billion people to feed by 2050. We're going to need to have optimum nitrogen management plants to make sure we are getting as much yield and high-quality grain as possible to feed these people. Next up brings us to, what is our nitrogen use efficiency? Ron and Johnson estimated that globally our nitrogen use efficiency is approximately 33% for cereal crops. What that means is that we're going to have a lot of nitrogen loss, and then also excess fertilization that can cause negative environmental impacts, such as causing hypoxic zones and also groundwater contamination. Also, as you can imagine, if you're applying too much nitrogen, you're also increasing production costs. And when we're looking at commodity prices like they are today, producers are really gunning for streamlining all their inputs so they can make as much profit per acre as possible. So what does the farmer do when they need to make a nitrogen management plan? Well, of course, they call the agronomist, right? That's our job. Well, what's the agronomist do when he comes to town? Well, they walk around the field a lot. They try to look somewhat professional, and they ask you a bunch of questions. And I like to call this the agronomist nitrogen recommendation algorithm. And what are they doing? Well, the first thing they're probably going to ask you is they're going to inquire about what is kind of the average grain yield you observe in this field from year to year. Well, what is that doing? Well, final grain yield, you can imagine, is the sum of all the interactions between crop, soil, and weather. And so this helps the agronomist calibrate himself for the yield behavioral changes observed in this field under a variety of different weather conditions. Next, they'll use remote sensing with their own eyes, thank you previous speakers for mentioning that, and assess nitrogen stress. Is there any current nitrogen stress that I can see in this field at this point in time? Third, they will take into consideration the soil type, any textural changes on the XY axis, and of course in the depth in the Z axis, and bring in any soil test analysis throughout the field in combination with consideration of the local weather patterns, precipitation. Well, what does that give us? That gives the agronomist a good idea of the nitrogen loss characteristics in question for this field, that nitrogen use efficiency factor. Next, they're going to take into consideration what is the growth stage of the crop, because specific growth stages are tied with specific yield factors. So if we have yield, if we have nitrogen stress occurring when ear size determination is taking place, that can cause permanent yield loss that we cannot recover. So the agronomist is going to take into consideration what is the current health of the crop at this time, what is the growth stage we are currently in, what level of stress are we dealing with. That tells him or her what is the maximum obtainable yield we can get, and if we have different degrees of nitrogen stress, how much can be recovered by making an N application. And then, of course, lastly, they make the grand nitrogen recommendation. Well, what's the issues facing agronomists and farmers? Well, to be honest with you, not every agronomist is a nitrogen specialist. They didn't spend their entire careers focusing on nitrogen management. Therefore, they won't be as effective at assessing the nitrogen status of the crop. And so we'll see a lot of variability in the quality of nitrogen recommendations across different agronomists. And then also we got to consider, what is the availability of the agronomists? You know, there's simply just not enough of us to go around to assist the farmer with making a nitrogen recommendation. So in those circumstances, it's not all that uncommon for them to just be like, well, I'm just going to apply what I did last year because that worked for me, and I need to get rolling on doing what I'm doing. And so this brings us to tools, all the different tools that we've been working on to help make nitrogen recommendations. And that has to bring me to active optical sensor technology. It was a fabulous tool developed for nitrogen management. It took care of a lot of the calibration issues we often observed with aerial imagery, because it sends out its own light signal and it makes it invariant of sky conditions. So it held a lot of promise for helping us with nitrogen management, because if we saw a change in the spectral data, we knew it was from the crop, not changes in the sky. The issue that we've ran into with active optical sensor technology has been poor adoption. So the thing is if we got poor adoption, no matter how great this tool is, its impact on your field or on the global scale is very low. But what's the great thing that came from these active optical sensors? It's the groups formulated around them to develop algorithms to make them function in the field. The very community you are sitting in right now formulated around making algorithms for active optical sensor technology and aerial imagery. And this is a multidisciplinary team. We're talking engineers, modelers, statisticians, collectively working together to develop algorithms for sensor-based nutrient management. A lot of these were very novel approaches for reducing the dimensionality of nitrogen recommendations. And then we had multiple universities participating, multiple agencies, USDA ARS, Holland Scientific in the industry, TopCon, Trimble. And so we put together this NUE group, NUE workshop group, which I had to put a plug in for, which is right listed there on the screen, do attend. What was great about this is very highly significant for your imagery today, because this means you have a plethora of good agronomically sound algorithms to pull components from or even use directly with your aerial imagery. So this brings us to drones, imagery, and algorithms. If we think about it, why are drones taking off so well? Well, drones are fast and efficient for field scouting. I don't know about you, but walking around in a field with a handheld active optical sensor, why would I walk if I can fly? I can cover a lot more fields over a given day, and I can respond to stress a lot faster. Also, we have to take into consideration our multispectral imagers are a lot better than they used to be. New calibration methods are coming out, good downwelling light sensors to help normalize that data across space and time. And thanks to active optical sensors, we have all these algorithms that we could port. And so what we get is a good tool for implementing nitrogen recommendations built on sound agronomic principles. So let's start looking at applying some algorithms to imagery. But one of my first criteria I had to put a plug in for this is that I generally like my imagery coming to me already calibrated. I want to see that spectral data well calibrated so I can use that data across time. The reason being, as soon as I can use it across time and space, that increases the ability of what our algorithm can do. So instead of just looking at what is the right rate to apply, our algorithm can start considering when's the right time. And that is critical for improving nitrogen management. Next is that, you know, I like having some sort of a white panel spectral on and also a downwelling light sensor. Like that's the Microsensus spectral panel there. I'm sure everybody is familiar with these kind of images at one point in time. CMOS sensor cameras, you know, a Canon S100, somebody pulled the filter out and is allowing near-infrared light to come in. All sorts of dirty data. So we got improperly set white balance. We got not calibrated for atmospheric conditions. That data is just going all over the place. This is a real heartburn for anybody trying to utilize it for an algorithm, and I got to the point where I just say, no, I don't want it. So, but an alternative that you do have to consider is if you don't have a white balance out there or some sort of a calibration panel, a nitrogen reference strip, you know, a point in the field where we got a known sufficiency, plenty of nitrogen out, that is your 100%. That is what you're gunning for. That does have the potential to help you out with calibration. So let's consider some algorithm designs and components. And these are components directly pulled from this sensor-based community and various algorithms developed by this group. First and foremost, these guys reduce the dimensionality. They took this very complex environmental interaction, the soils, the crops, and put it into just a few algorithm components. So it simplified the problem so it's easier to use. Next is these algorithms, some of them could be used for designed for single end applications, say like FeeX4 or at V4 or V6 or V8 on corn. And the thing is that if the algorithm knows that it's only going to do a single application, it has to build in more assumptions on what it's going to think it's going to be like for weather conditions and nitrogen loss in the future, so it can try to compensate. But if we have algorithms that are designed for multiple end applications, more intensive nitrogen management, they know they can spoon feed and just maintain those yield components in their early season and take advantage of any potential nitrogen mineralization and address nitrogen loss as it comes along. So having better potential for increasing NUE without sacrificing grain yield. Of course, then there's a number of schools of thought here, but there are algorithms out there that where they have a yield potential estimation component, where they try to convert NDVI directly to yield. Give you some sort of idea what that max yield potential is. And like our producers in Kansas, they typically want to know, what is my yield potential? And so it's an expectation from them for our algorithms. Next is the nitrogen use efficiency factor, which is basically our nitrogen loss characteristic. So a good way to think about this is if I applied 100 pounds of N, only 50 pounds of it gets into the plant, you have a 50% NUE. And of course, the nitrogen-rich strip. It's our zone of sufficiency. It's our 100% for comparison, but it's also important to point out that not all the algorithms that came out of this group require a nitrogen-rich strip. Next is dealing, what is our crop and response potential? So like a response index that you've seen from Ron and company coming out of OSU, or Mullen et al. 2003 paper. And so what this is doing is giving us an idea of how much yield can actually be gained by making nitrogen application at different levels of nitrogen stress. That way we're not fertilizing a crop that won't respond with more yield. So we don't want to be throwing that in away. And then, of course, I wrote down there as like a nitrogen requirement, which is basically, in the simple way to think about it is, how many pounds of N does it take to produce that next bushel yield? And then, of course, I have to mention the sufficiency index. A lot of different groups within the sensor-based community worked with sufficiency index. UNL did a lot of work with sufficiency index. It's a more generalized approach that goes ahead and normalizes the sensor data, and then it lends itself a lot better for working across various types of optical sensors. But it does generally not provide a yield estimation. So let's start looking about pulling some of these algorithms together. I'm going to pull a couple algorithms out from that were developed by this community. And one of them is a sufficiency index approach, and another is a yield potential and response index approach. And so looking at the sufficiency index approach first, I'm a pretty big fan of Solari and the work that he did. It was, quite frankly, pretty awesome. And so if you haven't read any of his papers, you probably should. He made this active optical sensor and recommendation algorithm that was built off the framework for an algorithm actually developed for the SPAD meter. How many of you, last time you worked with a SPAD meter? Or you don't want to ever work with a SPAD meter again? All right? So what he did was he took that algorithm, modified it, and made a nice simplified equation for nitrogen recommendations on corn. And so it used a sufficiency index, which is nothing more than your field NDVI divided by your reference strip NDVI, obviously very simple to implement, and has potential to be directly utilized with aerial imagery. And then we, of course, have our nitrogen-rich strip, which helps calibrates us for the different yield potentials within that field and nitrogen loss characteristics. And then he also designed it for irrigated corn, predominantly, and for use for growth stages between V11 and V15. Now, on the site that I'll show you today, all you had to do was utilize this equation right here, and I made absolutely zero modifications to it. I just used it straight from the publication. Now, obviously, I'm from K-State. I got to throw something purple in there, right? I'm not up here pitching for OSU or anything. My name, but Based on a Tucker and Mingle corn algorithm that was developed in 2008 directly with this community, it's very similar to the work you've seen coming out of OSU. It does yield potential and response index. So it's designed to be used between growth stages V8 and R1. Utilizes NRF strip, has a response index, which the equation is actually the inverse sufficiency index, but they did direct work to relate it to crop response, which you can read all about in the Molin paper and other Ron et al. Papers also. It made a yield potential estimation. We had our nitrogen requirement, how many pounds a minute it's going to take to produce that bushel of yield. We, of course, had a nitrogen use efficiency factor in there to take an estimate of our nitrogen loss characteristics. What you should be getting about a difference between this one and the Solari one is there's a lot more components in it. What does that mean for adapting it to aerial imagery? It's going to take a little more work. So, and in the interest of time, I'm going to focus on one location I've been working on this year. That way we can go into a lot more depth into it. Looking at this, this is at Rossville, Kansas. It's a Eudora silt loam soil. It's in the Kansas River Valley area, pretty similar to some of the conditions they experienced up in Nebraska for their irrigated corn. At Avaris MSP 3D, where I took soil EC, OM, and pH all across this field, with AB lines at only a 3-meter width, so it was very tight spatial resolution. Our UAV was a DJI Matrice 100. Our flight altitudes were generally 60 meters AGL, and our camera overlap was approximately around 70% side lap, 90% forward lap. Our imager that we are utilizing for today is the MicaSense Red Edge. We had the calibrated white panel that came straight from MicaSense. You take the image, you calibrate before the flight and also after the flight, and then we also had a downwelling light sensor potentially available to help with that. And I went ahead and just submitted the data straight to their Atlas processing, and so just doing this the same way that some other end user would also do it. And then I applied it to utilize the corn end recommendation algorithm from K-State, but also the sufficiency index algorithm also from Solari. So a little more details about this location. We had multiple nitrogen-rich strips that were applied as UAN at V4. And then we had various nitrogen rate curve applied, 0 to 250 pounds of N per acre. And then we established multiple plots where we can apply rates for the algorithm for testing. They're all placed in a randomized complete block design and replicated 4 times. Obviously, you're looking at this image where we got a red NDVI at V12. We got high levels of nitrogen stress that's taking place in this field. And right now, our red NDVI range between the soil and the crop was usually around 0.2 to about 0.275. Got a little bit higher up in the 0.85 range. Ignore that negative because that was actually a pixel somewhere over in the truck that got clipped out. So don't worry about that. It was calibrated. So let's figure out why we have such a severe zone of nitrogen stress right here. When we're trying to get our algorithms to understand what's happening in the field, and we're trying to make it do what the agronomists can do, and you should see parallelism between these algorithm components in that agronomist nitrogen recommendation algorithm. Because we can't walk out into this field today, I'll tell you what, I'll cheat and give you some data. And here's a soil electrical conductivity map that we developed, and our millisievers are ranging from 8 all the way to 33. And so what we see is, when we layer that in with our imagery, this is actually deep sand pockets all the way through here. And so our nitrogen is leaching out. When it gets into the nitrate form, the precipitation and irrigation happening, this is going right out the bottom. And so obviously our nitrogen use efficiency would be lower. So for our KSU algorithm, we set our nitrogen use efficiency factor to 40%. And maybe we should have set it even lower. Also, another thing to consider is up here. Vastly greener, and we saw from the millisievers, you know, over 30 millisievers, so we had nice clay lenses, actually 1 meter down. And so what that was actually doing is holding up all the nitrate and the water, acting like subsurface fertigation. And so we would expect our NUE to be higher in those areas. So let's look at, like, imagery algorithm performance. So what was our optimum nitrogen rate for this field? It was approximately around 155 pounds of N. And the KSU algorithm, based on the imagery, its recommended rate was around 164 pounds of N. And then the sufficiency index algorithm recommended 153. So both of these algorithms were within 10 pounds of the agronomic optimum. And so, you know, my thing was with the KSU algorithm, I had to do a few adjustments to get this thing to work with imagery. But, you know, it's nothing like getting a little upset at Nebraska over the fact that I just plugged it in and the darn thing worked. But I don't see Jim here, so we're okay. Anyways, but so the thing is about the KSU algorithm, our farmers want to know yield potential. So how did we do at predicting yield potential here? As you can see, we had a pretty decent relationship, you know, an R-squared 0.86. But truth of the matter is that the algorithm typically overestimated yield potential, approximately around 20 bushel. And so some reasons for that is that, you know, when you're making a yield estimation at V12, you still got a lot of season left. And I just told you that we have a massive sand lens right there, nitrate leaching. And so we probably had continued nitrate leaching, that yield potential going down. So if we took more imagery over time, if you took this image at like R3 or R4, I bet you'll be right on the nose. So some considerations for the Solari algorithm of the sufficiency index. You know, so we converted this to a nitrogen recommendation map, as you can see here. The one thing that the function, there's not a function in the Solari algorithm for what is the maximum response. So some sort of a back-off function, similar to the response index. And so what happens is that you'll have these plots like right here, you know, where their sufficiency index was only 50%, and we're talking of being at V12. Obviously, applying 400 pounds of N is not going to get you 250 bushel yield at this point. I mean, it's past prime. And so it actually needs a reduced nitrogen rate in these areas because the recoverable yield is actually lower. And so it can't actually obtain that maximum yield, and so we need to be making adjustments to this algorithm to go ahead and compensate for that. But the nice thing is that this is a very modular design. It wouldn't take very much at all to add an additional back-off function to where it actually reduced its nitrogen rate in these areas that won't recover, but then also be able to reduce the nitrogen rate in areas that are highly, highly sufficient. So I can talk about these kind of things all day long, but, you know, you all got places to be. So, you know, in summary, you know, first and foremost, as our previous speakers had mentioned, calibrated imagery. Good God, give us clean data. That makes no heartburn in that case. And so the thing is also, we got algorithms that were built for AOS, but clearly they can be ported to work with imagery. The thing is that depending on the kind of components in it, response index, yield potential, how much effort it takes to go ahead and convert it for use for imagery will be different. So, you know, the sufficiency index approach will obviously be easier, but you won't be getting yield potential. So you'll have to consider what do your farmers want. And so another thing is that, you know, these nitrogen recommendation algorithms can be pretty effective for your imagery. And the nice thing is we're looking at certified crop advisors, crop consultants. There's so many of these independent groups. They're not climate corporation. They can't run big models. They need models and algorithms that can reduce that dimensionality down and take this data and make it actionable data. And that's exactly what these algorithms were designed for. And so the thing is that you take the Solari algorithm or Holland-Shepherd's algorithm or OSU algorithm and you adapt it to this imagery, do extensive testing in the field. Find a lot of different environments and see how well it does, because if there's going to be a failure, it will come out. And you want to be making sure that you're showing your A game when you're going to give the recommendation to the farmer. And of course, last plug, if you want to be part of these kind of developments, you got ideas, you want to learn from the guys who actually invented them, come to these meetings. You're in the right room right now. But then we got our nitrogen use efficiency workshop where all of us get together and we bounce ideas off each other, show our successes, our failures, and we like to throw rocks at each other. I vaguely remember like half a waffle iron one time at OSU. That was my first interaction with that. Ask Bill Ron sometime. And with that, I'll go ahead and conclude. I'd like to thank you all for your time, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions. Sir.
Can I download these algorithms for use at home?
Yeah, absolutely. OSU's NUE website has algorithms there, and then also our sensor-based community also has the algorithms there for download, both sufficiency index styles, yield potential response index styles. We've been making these publicly available for years. And the big thing...
So I take my imagery and run the algorithm on it.
Oh, okay. Excellent question. So how do you take the imagery and run one of these algorithms on it? What I did is I just used ArcGIS, but you could use something like QGIS or any other open source GIS software. And basically, if you don't know how to program, just use the raster calculator function, and then you can just program the algorithm into there. Any other questions? Oh my. How about hard questions? So the question was, make sure I understand it right. Have we been looking at these algorithms and sensors for backing up or assessing regulatory requirements for making nitrogen recommendations? So the thing is that, you know, the majority of my focus obviously has been in the United States. So we don't really have any regulatory requirements for nitrogen recommendations, unlike Europe. But the thing is that if I know a lot of people over on the East Coast that are running dairy operations, and they do have to submit nitrogen management plans and, you know, animal science side. But I have not been utilizing on that end for regulatory requirements. But I see it as a very good opportunity to where people could utilize this technology, reduce nitrogen rates, but not add at sacrifice of yield. It's a win-win for everybody. Yeah, the folks, the more east that you go, those are the guys to talk to on that. We do have some, you know, some of our actual livestock units here in Kansas that we have to deal with it, but not near as much. Other questions? Are we good? All right. Thank you.